unto the personified Rupanugavaraya, who is the reverent follower of Sri Rupa Goswami. Te unto you. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Satchidanand Bhakti Vinod, who is transcendental energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a strict follower of the Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Om Agyan Dimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today is Disappearance Day of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who is father of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We see in the disciplic succession of our sampradaya, there are some 32 names of various devotees, including Lord Krishna and Vyasadeva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are many acharyas, there are many great devotees, associates, pure devotees of the Lord. But these names are mentioned in particular about Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gaur Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, because of their very great contribution towards expansion of this movement, expansion of this sampradaya. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's contribution is also very vast in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can just discuss today some major part of his contribution. Of course, not the whole thing. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur appeared in this world in 1838. During that time, India was under British Raj. And we have to understand, at that time, the situation for practicing Vaishnavism specifically and religious activities was not very nice, because British had introduced their education, Western education, and they had already tried to subdue subtly all the Indians, calling them as lower than white-bodied, lower than British counterparts. And the religion which Indians used to practice, they used to, in their education, create doubt in young minds about the very Siddhanta, about the very principles of those religions. In fact, at that time, those who used to, there were very rare devotees who used to practice the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or who used to be practice Vaishnava Siddhanta. Such devotees, they used to be considered beggars in the street, general populace would not very highly respect the Vaishnavas in renounced order of life. So most of the followers of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they would stay isolated in Vrindavan or Navadvip, Mayapur, and practice their bhajan, because general populace would not respect them. Not only that, in the name of Gaudiya Vaishnav, there were many Sahajiya cults, upper sampradayas, who had sprung up after the disappearance of the six Goswamis. Especially in Bengal and Orissa, they were spread so much that their practices, their literature was considered as mainstream Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Hence, pure Gaudiya Vaishnavism was somewhat lost. There were Sahajiyas prevalent in the society who, in the name of Mahaprabhu, used to practice and propagate various upper siddhantas, various principles which were not found in the writings of six Goswamis. In fact, the situation was such that when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was not available anywhere. It took him 8 years to find out one copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita for his personal reading, because the printer who used to print these books of Goswamis, he reduced printing of Goswami books and used to print Sahajiya literature. And this Sahajiya literature was so popular among the masses, and there was so much demand, that the Sahajiyasam was considered authentic Gaudiya principles. So from all this, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by his efforts, by his devotional service, by his writings, by his travels, by his talk, by his debates, by his following personal practice, he in fact can be considered modern founder of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, in the sense that what was lost, he is the one who rediscovered and gave it to the masses. That is the reason Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur very highly emphasized printing books, so that the actual principles and tenets, actual teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be spread into the masses. So Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although he appeared in this world in 1838, his childhood, his youth, he showed himself as a very ordinary person, getting involved in family activities, school, college, as a young scholar, reading so many Western authors, writing poems. At the same time, it was observed that from childhood he was also inclined to scriptures, especially hearing and reading Mahabharata and Ramayana, Bhagavad Gita. Over a period of time, he was such a famous scholar and a good student that he was made magistrate, deputy magistrate, by then government, British government. And when he was posted in Puri, that is where he really exhibited his divine symptoms of being an associate of Lord Shri Krishna. His natural attraction for Lord Krishna was more visible when he was posted in Puri wherein he used to daily go and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. The deity of Lord Jagannath, the temple atmosphere at Puri, the various devotees there, this all added to invoke his natural attraction for Krishna. In fact, the government took Bhaktivinoda Thakur's help to regularize worship in Jagannath Puri temple. Somehow at that time, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur observed that there were some malpractices happening in the Puri temple. And also, the offering of bhoga was not on proper time, not proper schedule was being followed. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very strict and he helped the temple administration to check the malpractices, to punish the people who were doing such mischief and to make sure that the priests, the pujaris and the cooks, they follow a very punctual schedule of offering bhoga and aartis to Lord Jagannath. In this way, he became famous as a religious scholar, and even the then government, the authorities of the government, used to very much appreciate Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very much appreciate his administrative judicial abilities. It is said that when others would take days to solve a particular case in the court, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would take just few hours and he would give his judgment. And also they were very much impressed by his religious scholarship. He was kind of a religious leader for people. And on religious sensitive matters, government used to take advice from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So one very peculiar incident happened near Puri is that there was one Atibari sect, one of the Sahajiya Sampradaya or Upper Sampradaya, Atibari, whose followers would claim that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to appear again. He disappeared from Jagannath Puri, but his mission, to complete his mission, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to appear again. That was their upper Siddhanta, which the Goswamis had never revealed. And based on this, many of the followers used to claim themselves as God, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to appear again, and I am the one who has appeared now. So some used to claim themselves as Krishna, some used to claim themselves as Balram. And there was one such follower, Vishak Sen, who used to claim himself to be Mahavishnu. Vishak Sen had some yogic siddhis, some extra material power, through which he attracted many followers by producing fire from his head, by curing diseases of people instantaneously, and by providing some solutions to material problems, by providing sources of wealth to people. In this way, he became very popular in the nearby places. He started staying in a jungle. With the help of some government officers, he acquired land and property, and he started staying in jungle in nearby Puri. Actually, it is a normal tendency of general populace that whenever there is some chamatkar, some magical power or something extra which generally doesn't occur, then people get attracted. Chamatkar ko namaskar. Then people get attracted and they think this person is God. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, India is a God-making factory. Every street and every city, somebody springs up claiming to be God, just to die the other day. But it is important that we understand from the authentic instructions of scriptures who is God. That Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if it is a common knowledge in ISKCON society, but still it is very, very important that this Siddhanta is preached very heavily all over the world. Because all the desires of peace, unity, love, brotherhood, all these things can come only when everybody understands and agrees that there is one God. Even same God named by two different names, there is a fight. People fight over Allah and Ram. Same God with two different names. So at that time also there were people who used to claim to be God. Vishak Singh claimed to be Mahavishnu. He showed some yogic power. And he had thousands of followers. They used to daily go, offer their obeisances, offer their prayers, offer their aartis. And this fellow used to daily show some chamatkar, some magical show. And people used to get attracted. He even claimed, even predicted that I am the one who is going to be the next king of the whole world. Nay, the whole universe. This British would be driven away by me from India and I will be the king of India. And those who do not obey me or those who do not follow me will be heavily punished. So his followers, stupid, foolish followers, they started spreading this news to the other villages that soon a big revolution is going to happen, led by our Mahavishnu, and the whole government is going to be toppled. Now this news reached the government that some revolution is going to happen by some person in jungle. So the government started off doing some inquiry. And they understood the matter is very sensitive, because if we do something with this fellow or arrest him, there may be mass upheaval. There may be instability in the region. So very rightly, they requested Bhaktivinoda Thakur to look into this. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he did the investigation, and apart from other things, which he came to know, the major thing which struck him is that some imposter is claiming himself to be Krishna, God, Mahavishnu, and cheating people. And this is no good. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur very seriously got involved in this. Not just because the government requested him to do it, but because he found that this jiva, this particular person, was cheating people by claiming himself to be God, and this was obvious against the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he, being a follower and propagator of Srimad Bhagavatam, was very much eager to defend this position. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with the help of some inspector and constables, he went to meet this Vishak Singh in the jungle. He just went with an ordinary dress. Nobody went in police uniform. So when he went there, he saw this Vishak Singh was sitting straight near some fire, and all his followers were sitting there and offering his prayers, chanting some mantras. And this Bisaksen, he was actually a powerful yogi. In between, he used to go and sit inside the fire and then come out unharmed. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he approached, Bisaksen immediately got up and started to Bhaktivinoda Thakur as if he knows everything. He said, "I know you are a Bengali Babu, a magistrate, deputy magistrate, and I know why you have come here, because government has told you." And he threatened him and challenged him that don't come in my way. I am Mahavishnu and you should not play with fire. I know all these people who have come with you are inspector and constables. And he narrated the whole history of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who knows everything from the scriptures, that how yogic powers are visible, he was not impressed by all this. He told Bisaksen that a tiny living entity, a insignificant living entity, when he claims to be God, then that is worst offense. So I request you, you please do not do this. Don't claim yourself to be God. You are not Mahavishnu. Bisaksen got angry. He again started threatening that you go from here or it will be very dangerous for your life. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur requested him that why don't you come to Jagannath Puri? If you are God, already your temple is there. Jagannath's temple is there. Such a big temple. So why don't you come there and stay in your temple? Bisaksen said, "That Jagannath, that wooden doll, he is not God. I am God. I am Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you all should come here and worship me." And that was the final proof that he was a big offender. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur left that place and he continued his investigation. He came to know from various village people that once Mahavishnu had requested the village leaders to send their young girls, saying that I am going to have Ras dance for the purification of all the villagers. And he actually polluted many girls. Innocent villagers, when they came to know this, they were very angry. And they were all complaining to Bhaktivinoda Thakur about this. So then one day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took hundreds of constables with rifles and guns, and they all approached Bisaksen. When Bisaksen saw all this, he was so angry that he started exhibiting his yogic powers, emitting fire from his head and doing all sorts of chamatkars. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was unafraid. He told his constable, "Go and arrest this man." But the constables were so afraid. They were not ready to do it. So finally Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself caught hold of him and put him in a bullock cart, and they came to Puri. It is said that on the way, Bisaksen was again and again threatening, angrily speaking to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, showing so much of his yogic power, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur was least afraid. This is very much parallel to a story in the history of this world, wherein Durvasa Muni had a quarrel with Ambarish Maharaj. Durvasa Muni was a very powerful yogi. Ambarish Maharaj was a very humble devotee of the Lord. And at that time also, Ambarish Maharaj was least afraid of the yogic powers exhibited by Durvasa Muni. So then in the court, Bisaksen's trial began. It ran for so many days. And with Bisaksen, he didn't even take water or food for so many days, more than 21 days. And still he didn't show any sign of weakness. That was his yogic power. Again and again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to go to the jail and preach to Bisaksen that to stop your nonsense. But this fellow was so proud, considering himself as Mahavishnu, that he used to never listen. He even told Bhaktivinoda Thakur that you release me and stop this investigation, stop this case. When I become the king of this world, I'll make you a governor. So he even tried to allure him. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was fixed in his stance. It is said when the trial was going on the sixth day, Bisaksen in front of the whole court, he threatened Bhaktivinoda Thakur that either you close this case or there will be havoc created in your family. Bhaktivinoda Thakur of course didn't respond to this. And that same day when Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to his house, he saw one of his daughter was attacked by a very severe disease. She was having high fever, she was falling again and again unconscious, and the whole household was in chaos. It took more than 2 days for her to cure. So Bhaktivinoda's wife, Sri Bhagwati Devi, she requested her husband that why don't you transfer this case to some other magistrate? Because she was also afraid. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, it is better to die than to not punish Bisaksen. So in this way the trial continued. And the last day, the final day of judgment, the day before at night, Bhaktivinoda Thakur got a very severe pain in his chest. So much that he couldn't do any motion, any movements, no walking, nothing. In spite of all the attempts of removing the pain, overnight the pain went on increasing. This was all by Bisaksen. And in the morning the pain was so much that Bhaktivinoda Thakur couldn't walk. But still, because it was a judgment day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur went on a palanquin carried by 4 people to the court to give his final judgment. Thousands and thousands of followers were there outside the court protesting against the law, against the government, and shouting slogans in favor of Bisaksen and telling them to release our Mahavishnu. That was their slogan. So Bisaksen also was very angry. He was again and again threatening to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But finally Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave his judgment and he gave him imprisonment. So when the constables were taking Bisaksen, there was one British fellow in the court. He had somewhere read that the yogis, they keep their powers in their shika, in their hair. So this fellow, what he did, he took a scissor and cut off all the hairs of Bisaksen. And it is said as soon as his hairs were cut, he fell down. He collapsed on the floor. Since all his power was gone, since 21 days he had not eaten anything, he became so weak that he collapsed. And he was taken out of the courtroom on a stretcher. And when all the followers of Mahavishnu saw their Mahavishnu on the stretcher, they also ran away. So we understand that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was so much courageous that in spite of mass protest, in spite of this Bisaksen being so powerful yogi, in spite of allurement, in spite of danger to his family, but still he continued to uphold the Siddhanta of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in his capacity as a deputy magistrate, he did justice, proper justice. So like this, there were some others also who claimed to be God. and Bhaktivinoda Thakur aptly punished them and reduced such nuisance in this world. At the same time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to gather with other Vaishnavas and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. One such time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to sit in Jagannath Vallabh Gardens in Puri. And there with the other devotees, he used to give lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam. At that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has not yet accepted a Diksha Guru. He was not wearing Kanti Mala or other such things. So there was one Babaji, very pure Babaji, who was thinking that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not wearing Kanti Mala, is not wearing Tilaka. So how can he be a bona fide Vaishnava? It happens sometimes. We judge people by dress and address. So seeing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's dress, he was thinking that he cannot be a bona fide Vaishnava. So that Babaji, he started telling people not to go for his lectures, not to associate with him. Then somehow, that Babaji, one day, he got very diseased. And at night, he got a dream in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and told him that you go and take blessings of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur and beg forgiveness from him. And next day he went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, begged his forgiveness, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur helped him to get cured. And they became very nice friends. So this was another example wherein Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, we understand, is a very dear associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It so happened that the Raja of Puri, somehow he was involved in some corruption related to Jagannath temple. So in his findings and inquiries, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to know about this. And he was making a file, making a case against the Raja and his associates. When the king came to know about this, he actually planned to murder Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But he knew that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is so popular that nothing physical or grossly can be done. So what he did is, in his palace, in a secret room, he called 50 panditas to do a tantric yajna. And they were supposed to do it for some 50 days. And the plan was, at the 50th day, the fruit of the yajna would be such that Bhaktivinoda Thakur would die. Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to know about this. But being completely dependent and protected by Lord Jagannath, he didn't do anything about it. He just continued his service. And it is said that automatically on the 38th day of the yajna, suddenly the king's son died. The fruit of the yajna, which was supposed to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur, killed the king's son. So again we see that he was so courageous in his service to the deity of Lord Jagannath that in spite of so many dangers, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur continued to be doing his service. In fact, we see in the life of so many devotees, Prahlad Maharaj, the Pandavas, Draupadi, Mother Kunti, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that has happened that during their service, they have always come across dangers. Various dangers to life, to property. But they always courageously continue to do their service, depending on the protection of Lord Shri Krishna. And we should also get inspired. We may have some dangers, not similar dangers, even if it is minor or major, But we should be courageous enough to continue our devotional service, knowing well, being convinced that Lord Krishna always protects his devotees. Whatever happens, whatever the circumstances may be. So in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was leading a life. At the same time, he was writing many books, printing books, going village to village to preach the holy names of Krishna, give lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam, even in Western circles, English audience, local village audience, making so many friends with other devotees, and he continued like that. One very major contribution of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was to discover or rediscover the actual birth site of Nimai, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Somehow once when Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to go to Vrindavan, he got a dream by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, why are you going to Vrindavan now? One main service is pending in Mayapur, Navadvip. So first you go there. From that time onwards, Bhaktivinoda Thakur developed deep transcendental anxiety somehow to relocate his service, his government job to Navadvip. So he approached many government authorities, but nobody wanted to lose him. Nobody wanted to relieve him. So finally he said that I will resign, and he tendered his, gave his resignation that I don't want to work because I have to go to Navadvip. Then somehow some British officer, he agreed and he got transferred to Krishnanagar. So from Krishnanagar he should regularly go to Navadvip. The town Navadvip known at that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to find out the exact birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when he went in town Navadvip, where there was a popular place already known as Yogpit or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth site, during his investigations he came to know that this is not the actual birth site, because this town was just 100 years before. So when he inquired, many people told him, some people told him this is Nimai Pandit's birth site, some people told him it is already lost because of the shifting of the Ganges, and some people told him it is across the other side of the Ganges. So there was no proper record, there was no proper information. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur once, when he was on the terrace of his house, somehow at one part across the Ganges, he saw big illumination, big light. He was with his son. He asked his son, did you see that light? He said, yes, Papa, I saw. There was a servant. He asked the servant, he said, oh, I didn't see. So it was very amazing. So next day across the Ganges, he went to see that place. And when he inquired to people, the very elderly people there, they claimed that this is actually Sri Mayapur Ram. This is actually Yogpit, the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And he saw there lots of tulsi plants growing very luxuriantly. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur started going deeply into the matter, looking for old maps, old gazettes, old books, and based on his investigation he concluded that this is the actual birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but not much known to people. To finally get approval, he requested Jagannath Das Babaji, who was his Shiksha Guru, to come and actually conclude the case. At that time, Sir Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj externally was very invalid in his body. His age was 120 and he couldn't move. If anywhere he has to move, he would be sitting in a basket and his servant, disciple, would carry him in the basket. Not only that, even if somebody comes to meet him and he has to see the person, he didn't have any strength in his body to move his eyelids, open his eyes. His servant used to, by his fingers, open his eyelids so that he can see who has come to meet him. That was the expression of invalidity externally in his body, that he couldn't do anything. So that Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, in a basket, he was brought at this place, which Bhaktivinod Thakur, through his research, found out to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth site. And it is said that as soon as Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj reached that place, from his basket he jumped in the air, claiming that this is the actual Nimai Janma Bhumi. This is the actual Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth site. So even though he was such an invalid, but still he could jump in the air and exclaim. And all the Vaishnavas there who used to accept Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj as a Paramahamsa leader of Gaudiya Vaishnava Society, they immediately accepted this as a spiritual proof. So apart from his material investigations and with the help of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur received a credit of finding actually the birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is very, very important. Today when we go to Mayapur, very easily we go to Yogpit and pay our obeisances. But it is to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's credit that today we do not have any confusion. Otherwise, imagine 2-3 people claiming to be having an Yogpit. Where will we go and offer our obeisances? So, Leela Sthan, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested his Goswami disciples to go to Vrindavan and find out Leela Sthan, those places where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed, Sri Lord Krishna performed his pastimes. In the same way, in Navadvip, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur found out many other pastime places of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srivas Angan, Yogpit, Srivas Angan, and so many other places. In fact, he wrote a very nice book called Navadvip Parikrama, Navadvip Dham Parikrama Mahatmaya. And he found out so many pastime places which today, when devotees go, they visit. That is all contribution of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is a very great contribution. Another contribution of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur is his sincere prayers to Lord Krishna to send Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as someone who would continue his mission. Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared as a son to Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed to Lord Krishna that my mission, I need some assistant who is capable to understand and continue this mission. And by the mercy of the Lord, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in his family. And from childhood, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur exhibited divine symptoms. That is a very great associate of the Lord. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, out of all his sons, he trained specially Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in propagating the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in printing books, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered very important. And we see the same importance that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave. And he, in the Sampradaya, gave the same instruction to A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Sri Prabhupada, who also gave very much importance to printing and distributing books. And that is how ISKCON spread worldwide. The mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread worldwide. So all this was by Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So during his retirement time, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur works exclusively rendering preaching activities in all over villages. Many, many villages he went. In fact, in the Yogpit, after Yogpit's discovery, Bhaktivinoda Thakur made a society of devotees who would make a temple in Yogpit. And he told that for the funds, I would personally go and collect. And he was such a well-known, famous person that he went and actually begged to everybody to at least give me 1 rupee so that we can make a temple in Yogpit. And so many Hindu families, just because Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to their house, they parted their income. They gave funds. He was so humble He personally did it, and there was a very big festival at Yogpit on the inauguration of the temple. Many devotees said that this is parallel to the Kheturi festival by Narottam Das Thakur 450 years before, which he did. It was such a big festival, so much kirtan. He established the deities of Gaur, Vishnu, Priya. And then we see today also Yogpit is there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Samadhi is there, his Murti is there. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur made a bigger mutt, bigger temple there. So apart from this, in 1910, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually entered in seclusion, complete isolation. Before that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took Babaji Vesha from Gaur Kishodas Babaji Maharaj. And then in 1910, he entered seclusion, not meeting anybody, and completely absorbed in bhajan. And 1914, on this day, he departed back to the spiritual world, giving so much of his instructions in his books. It is mentioned that he wrote more than 100 books. In spite of his busy schedule as a court magistrate, in spite of his grihastha responsibilities, in spite of his extra religious activities, religious responsibilities, preaching, traveling, sometimes he was ill, still daily night he used to write books in English, in Sanskrit, in Bengali, and there are some very famous books he has written. Harinam Chintamani, Bhajan Rahasya, and commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, commentary on Bhagavad Gita. He has a magazine, started a magazine called Sajjan Toshani. So many books he has written, which we all can utilize. So this is the day we should offer our prayers to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. With the Pushpa we should offer our surrender to him and request for his blessings so that we can continue to perform devotional service in the mission of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. I was thinking we'll sing some bhajan written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So I have some prints. Somebody can distribute this print. Maybe do some Mataji's also. So there may not be enough prints. So maybe two devotees can share one. Vamande Prabhu has agreed to sing this bhajan.
Thank you. বা পরম সিদ্ধি প্রেমলতে কার মূল ভকত সেবা পরম সিদ্ধি প্রেমলতি কার শুদ্ধ ভকত চরণ রেণু ভজন যতনে পালন করি মাধব মাধব তিথি ভক্তি জানি যতনে পালন করি বসতি বলি পরম আদরে বরি কৃষ্ণ বসতি বসতি বলি পরম আদরে চরণ রেণু ভজন গৌর আমার যে সব স্থানে করল ভ্রমণ স্থান হেরব আমি প্রণয়ী ভকত সঙ্গে শুদ্ধ ভকত চরণ রেণু ভজন सदा जासे मृदंग मृदंग वाद सुनिते मन अवसर सदा चरण रेणु भजन यनुको तुलसी देखि जुराय प्राण माधव तो शनि
devotees is conducive to devotional service. While service to the Vaishnavas is itself the supreme perfection and the root of the tender creeper of divine love. Second, I observe with great care the holy days like Ekadashi and Janmashtami, for they are the mother of devotion. as my dwelling place, I choose with the greatest reverence and love the transcendental abode of Sri Krishna. Third, all those places where my Lord Gaurasundar travelled for pastimes, I will visit in the company of loving devotees. Fourth, my mind always begs for the opportunity to hear the music of the Midanga. Upon hearing the kind of kirtan ordained by Lord Gaurachandra, my heart dances in ecstasy. Fifth, by beholding the deity forms of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, I feel the greatest joy. By honoring the Lord's prasad, I conquer over all worldly illusions. Sixth, Golok Vrindavan appears in my home whenever I see the worship and service of Lord Hari going on there. Upon seeing the Ganges, which is a river of nectar emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, my happiness knows no bounds. Seventh, the sight of the holy Tulsi tree soothes my soul, for I know she gives pleasure to Lord Krishna. By honoring Shak, a dear favorite of Lord Chaitanya, I consider life worthwhile. Eighth, whatever bhakti note obtains that is conducive for the service of Sri Krishna, he accepts every day with the greatest of joy. So Bhakti Note Thakur ki, Anand Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki, Hare Krishna. Thank you.